Shout out to Jigsaw Company. You know what it is. Bullpen over the bullshit. Bad news, nigga, the bully.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy, Cameron Airborne. I'm over here kicking it with Jigsaw Company over in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Yes, sir.
It's that new Jigsaw Company.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy Jigsaw Blue back with another episode of Jigsaw Company, brought to you by Puzzle Me Entertainment. Y'all know y'all can catch us every Wednesday on the Anchor app. Please download the Anchor app. But you know we on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We out here, man. Got a lot of stuff coming, a lot of projects, so be on the lookout for that. Right now I'm sitting with somebody that got a nice little buzz right now, man. Nice little buzz. Cam, man, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing?
Go ahead and give your introduction of who you are for the people that don't know who you are.
Right. I'm currently independent artist. My name's Cameron Airborne from South Florida. Right now I'm on tour right now. It's the Always Faded, Almost Famous tour. Sorry, it's a tongue twister. But yeah, we at the first stop right now in Fayetteville, North Carolina. You know, I had to come link up with my boy, show some love. We here right now, you know what I mean?
So yeah. Introduce your people that's with you, man.
Yeah, I got my man Demo. Say what's up, man.
What's up?
We got Joe Tiki over here.
What's happening?
You know what I mean, we got Chico G. Got Mummified 305, FGAD Entertainment in the building. They in the back, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we all here. We just came to, you know what I mean, turn up with y'all. We at the Drunk Horse Pub tonight.
And I know you linked up with some people that I run in the same circle with, China Vine.
Right.
Shout out to China Vine. She's
on a show tonight. We're actually promoting. They say they knew her while we were promoting, so, you know what I mean?
She fucking dope. And Race Taylor. I went to school with Buster Brown.
Okay.
So it's always going to be some type of love and support that I got for him because that's my bro from school.
Right.
But man, I'm glad that you could be in my city, man. How did you get into Fayetteville as far as like on your tour list?
I linked up with Agora Music Productions and we kind of just sat down. We wanted to actually do it earlier, do it like a New Year's type thing, but it didn't really fall through, so we booked it for this summer, and it's kind of how it just fell through. We just had everything just line up around it. Timing was good, so weather's good, yeah, you know, everything's good. Like, it's nice out here too.
Yeah, the Jungle Pub, yeah, that's a good spot, man. I've been there a couple times. It's a good spot, the showcase and performing, man. So how did y'all form into y'all entertainment group?
I mean, that's the thing. We're not really an entertainment group. We're individual artists.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So we just know each other from previous tours. Like, our home city, we all got a buzz in it. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like, we like to just link up and tour together because you're more powerful and a force.
That's true. That's especially why, if you run people from your city and y'all run together, y'all smash stuff. That's a beautiful thing. So, Tiki, Joe Tiki?
Yeah.
How did you get into the music thing?
Shit, I actually liked the music from dancing. I started off dancing, actually, from Michael Jackson. That was, like, my favorite artist.
Okay.
And I got into music that way. And how I got into rapping was Bone Thugs and Harmony. They were my favorite rap group. So I couldn't sing like Michael. Bone Thugs was the closest thing to singing and rapping. And so I was like, all right. So I started rapping like Bone Thugs. And then, you know, here I am today.
So you born in Florida?
Yeah.
How did you get Bone Thugs in Florida? My brother. Your brother?
He was a big Bone Thugs fan. And he was like, yo, listen to this. And I was like, oh, you niggas snapping. I'm like, oh, shit, they singing rapping? Like, that was the first time hearing some shit like that. So I'm like, yo, this is it. This is who I want to fuck with right here. And then I started rapping. I never, like, put out my music or anything, but I was always, like, rapping in the house and shit like that. So
when did you get to the point where you was like, okay,
let me... started believing in myself. Yeah, I was rapping and stuff, but I never really believed in myself back then. So when I finally, like, all right, fine, you know, I don't give a fuck no more, I'm gonna just do it. Like, 2015 was like when I really, like, put out my first project by myself. So it took a long time, but I finally did it. You know, when you know, comfortable with yourself and start believing in yourself, that's when you start doing shit that you wouldn't believe you would do.
And that's true. Sometimes, so nobody, like, put that, like, okay, you can do this shit. Nobody put that into you, that you did that yourself.
I did it myself, really, because nobody really knew I rap because I was that scared. I was like, yo, I kept it to myself. Like, only very few people were like, okay, yeah, he can actually rap, because I'll rap in front of closest friends, but I would not tell them to tell people, so because I didn't want it to, you know, be known, because I was kind of nervous all the time, so I never rap. People freestyling, I never freestyle. I had like one or two friends that see me freestyle. So I never really, you know, freestyle for other people.
Okay. Say your name again, man.
Demo.
All right. So how did you get into to the rap?
Me? In high school, I used to like sell bootleg CDs. And like rap was like, that's what everyone was listening to. Lil Wayne, you know, Jay-Z, shit like that. So I was doing that, collecting music, listening to a lot of different kind of music. And I was like, I'm going to try this. And I like it.
How long has it been since you started?
I started doing that when I was 16. So I'm 27 now. 10 years, but I've been taking it seriously probably for the last like 4 or 5 years. I grew up in the Midwest, like Chicago, Indianapolis,
Okay.
around there, and then I moved down to Florida, and I linked up with this group called the Hood Hippies, and we got a studio up there. A lot of artists locally record with us, and Cam records with us, and yeah, that's how I kind of got into it.
When did you feel like, okay, this is something that I can do?
I mean, for me, it's like, I just enjoy making music. I like to create, so, like, it was just a process. Like, there was, like, a probably, like, couple-year period where I just, like, locked myself in the studio and, like, kind of perfected my craft, and then people were like, yo, like, your sound, like, you got that sound now, like, you know what I mean? So this was probably like a couple of years ago when I finally was like, all right, I'm going to really try to make a push with this shit.
Cam, same thing for you, man. When did you feel like, okay, Cam is it? This is what I'm doing for a living.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny too, because before I started rapping, like, I play guitar too, so I used to be in a band and stuff before, and I just kind of, like, I always was into rap, but I never, like, pursued it as music-wise. So once I started getting into that, I liked it way better, you know what I mean? So that was when I was, like, 13, you know what I mean, 14. I'm 22, so it ain't been too long. But, yeah, I just been pushing. Like, I had, like, my first CD was 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. So ever since, yeah, when that shit came out, that shit was, I had shit in rotation forever. I was legit too. I was only like 7 to 10 years old, some shit like that. And yeah, ever since then, I just been hooked. And I've been making music, pushing, touring, a lot of shit like that. Like, I got one of my music videos on my first album. It's called Commas. It went viral on social media.
Is that the one with the guns?
Yeah, with
and
the bank
mask?
Robbery, yeah.
That was dope. Yeah, how did you pull that off?
There's actually a convention center in Palm Beach. They shut it down and let me film in it to, like, stage it as a bank and whatnot, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I just had to pull a permit, and then I got a real good video guy, so we made it happen, you know what I mean?
I was like, this
is... Yeah, Andrew Colton, Colton
Mitchell. I said, this is like, got a budget. That was nice, man, that from as far as, like, independent-wise.
Right.
Especially, like...
That was a little early too. That was like 3 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. Like the look of it and the whole concept and that was dope, man.
Yeah, very cinematic.
Exactly. So, do anybody remember their first song that they made?
Yeah.
Yes and no. It's between like a few. I don't know which one. It becomes a blur. Like, you make so much music, it kind of becomes a blur. So
I remember my first song because that was my baby. Yeah. My first song was, as far as like my first official recorded song, was called I'm Too Fresh. It was around that whole, it was like right before Soulja Boy came out. Mm. And that's when it started, that's the sampling started happening. So that's the only reason why I remember, because...
Right.
That was my first.
Yeah,
my first
love. I feel like a lot of my first songs and first music is on other people's beats, like remixes and whatnot. You know okay. What I mean? So I feel like a lot of my first recordings are just on like known instrument. Yeah, you know what I mean. Just messing around.
I've always rapped on known beats, so my first song was on like an original. You see that a friend made it or I made it. Like, okay. I always believed rapping on your own
beats. So you make your own beats.
Yeah.
Okay, so hey. How does that work out?
Well, that's why I started making my own beats because nobody's making beats, and I didn't want to rap on other people's beats because I felt like I can't get nowhere with it. Because I was already thinking like that back then. I was business with it. I'm like, man, okay. I need to try to make my own beats. So I started making my own beats because people was either charging too much or they make beats. Okay. And I didn't have no damn money or no job back then. So I'm like, let me learn how to make it myself.
I can understand that.
Making my own beats. It was corny beats, but whatever. I was rapping on them and I was enjoying it.
And I mean, but like I said, it's yours, so you knew how to freak it. Yeah, somebody else.
I used to make the corniest beats, but I rapped on it where it actually sounded dope because I knew how I wanted, you know, it might sound in a beat. I knew exactly how I want to, you know, mix it up because I have to use my vocals as like an instrument.
As you should.
So it's not like I'm just rapping over a beat. I'm that. If it's two instruments, I'm that third instrument that would, like, that's how I flow, like Bone Thugs, because I used to hear them as an instrument. So that's when I started rapping just like them, similar to them. So.
Okay.
You know, I just slowed it down now, you know. Because Eminem was my, like, solo favorite artist at the time, too. The leader, when he came out. So
I feel like he was everyone's favorite at one point.
Boom, yeah. Michael Jackson put together, and then boom. Joe Dickey, that's it. That's how I feel. Some weird shit.
So, Damo, who's your, like, artist that got you, like, okay, I want to do this?
Probably Eminem's definitely up there. 50 Cent, like he said. Mm-hmm. Lil Wayne, like when he was going through his whole mixtape wave.
Yeah, he went on a run.
He got
to
fuck it all up.
Yeah, like the droughts and all that. That was my shit. So.
What's your favorite Wayne mixtape?
Either probably like the Dedication 2,
okay.
The Drought 3, or No Ceilings.
No Ceilings.
That's mine. Yeah. No Ceilings.
No Ceilings was on repeat for a long time, dude. That was in the CD player. But yeah, I had all the bootleg versions, so yeah.
You did it yourself?
CDs. Yeah, I used to do all that myself. Me too. Back in the day, back when that was the way. Yeah, now everything's streaming, though, so it's like a whole different game now than how it was.
Back then,
you
used to make money for selling CDs.
Yeah,
burning CDs,
especially in school, man.
Yeah, that's what it was in high school. Hey, everyone came to me.
Write your list
shit,
down.
So, yeah,
have it to me by the end of the day. I have it to you by Wednesday.
And that was when shit was like leaking too, so you would get shit before it even came out.
Right.
And then everyone would pay for that. Yeah.
Plug.
See, now they're selling files digitally. They'll remember people. Someone was selling 6ix9ine's album as a file before it dropped, like getting Cash App for the album.
Wow!
Yeah,
it's always
it was crazy,
man.
Bro.
That had to be somebody on his team on the inside.
Yeah, that's usually what it is. It's usually someone from
like builds
the team
hype
that
too.
Drops it.
That's the same thing with ain't that the same thing that happened with Wu-Tang when they had that one album. They wasn't going to sell it. It was just you had to go to a certain place to listen to
right.
it.
Right.
And I forgot the dude name that bought it.
Marsha Kelly.
That rich
Marsha
Kelly.
He's in jail now, though, but.
Yeah, the FBI confiscated that.
Yeah.
Because and they say he had some unreleased
Wayne too.
Wayne shit.
Yeah.
He had the Carter 5.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
He probably just capping.
I respect that, man. That's. Can't respect that. So, Cam.
Yes, sir.
Damn, I had a question on the top of my head and I lost it.
Nah, be like that. So, we smokers. You know what I mean?
Yo. All right, so, what was your favorite performance that you had?
Oh, it's a tough one. Recently, actually, not too recent, but last October, I was on the road with Denzel Curry. I did a few shows with him. The one in Orlando, it was called Saline. That was the venue. That was probably hands down one of my favorite shows. That it comes to mind first. So,
what made it special? Was it a big crowd or?
I mean, it's not really the crowd really, like, because it could be 1,000 people, it could be 10 people, but, like, if they're really, like, tuned in and rocking with you, I feel like that's what makes it special. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can see it on their face as they're fucking with this shit, so it makes it more
personal,
valuable.
Yeah, yeah. I feel you.
My favorite show, I think this was, like, probably, like, 2 or 3 years ago. I opened up for Trick Daddy in Miami. That shit was lit. Because he's, like, the mayor down there. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, the whole city comes out for him. And they, like, treated us like gods out there. So that was, like, that was a cool experience for sure.
That shit lit. Dude. Yeah.
We made a newspaper the next day for that shit.
Yeah.
You remember that shit?
Yeah. So did y'all get to interact with, like, Denzel Curry, Trick Daddy when y'all perform, or?
Yes and no, yeah, because it's like they be in and out the green room. Like, it depends. It kind of depends on her. Like, I chop it up with Denzel Curry here and there, but they just be so on point with their schedule and shit and try not to, like, once people start seeing them and shit, like, it'll throw everything off. People just start gravitating over there and it'll fuck everything up. So they're almost kind of like they just stay hidden. Yeah, I mean, to keep everything calm.
Okay, yeah,
I mean? Like, yeah. It could just fuck everything up. Like,
cause I don't know if y'all in the battle rap or whatnot, but like I want to say like two months ago, they had a battle event down here. Chef Trez was down here, and me being a battle rap fan, I'm like, okay, shit, that's Chef Trez. So I went to holler at him and whatnot, and you know, he wasn't Hollywood or nothing, and that's one thing I can respect as far as, like, well, artists that do give you the time to, you right. know, talk to you. He shot me his number and everything. We chop it up, you know, here and there. But that's why I asked, did y'all get to meet them? Because some people be at now.
No, exactly, yeah. No, beyond that. But at the same time, sometimes it's not them. Sometimes it's a mixture of different things.
It's
like
also how the venue set up, because sometimes they'll have them in a separate, like, whole part of the, like he's saying, they just stay in the green room and, like, they're not, like, we're out, at least I know me, like, I'm out mingling in the crowd. I like to turn up. I'm out there, like, trying to meet people and shit, and then, you know, they just, they ain't trying to meet nobody.
Because
they already done their, they already paid their dues, you know what I mean?
The show I probably like the most is Open Up for Ray Shrimmer.
Wow.
They was lit. And I, you know, they was turned. I'm always turned. So when I met them, they came in right after I performed. Like, they came in when I performed. And when they all came, like, the crowd was like, oh, Ray Shrimmer's here. So they, like, right there behind stage, and I'm performing right in front of them. I'm like, holy shit, this is real right now. So I'm performing my ass off. The crowd's fucking with it. So I'm like, oh, shit. And then I turn around, you know, the manager at the time was like, yo, it's Ray Shrimmer, holla. I know what I'm saying, what's up to them? And they cool, it was cool as fuck. So I got to meet them and talk to them. I actually chilled with them a few times.
Okay.
A few clubs, because the manager, he's the one that booked them for that show on top of that. So that's what got me closer and talking.
So do they help you publicity-wise, having a manager?
They don't know me like that. We just met. That's it. Business. They met me. Business. The manager made them beat me. That was it. It was cool.
Like, because me, personally, I'd be trying to network. Like, I'm not asking you for anything, but shit, if I can help you,
right?
You get, you know, somewhere down the line. Like,
at the time, it was more of I had to build a relationship. So
gotcha.
I knew he was so close to them, so that's why I said I met him a few times. So every time I meet him, I talk to him a little more.
Bad.
But, you know, the relationship with me and the manager ended, so I couldn't get into that real relationship where they're like, yo, this is my nigga T. Okay. Put me on the camera. I didn't get there yet. Gotcha. But we're partying together, though. Like, there was a club we was in where I'm actually vibing, no performance, just chilling. Right. You know, and then groupies everywhere going crazy. I was there before them. Girls not giving me no attention. As soon as they came, the same exact girls grabbing me, holding me. I'm walking with them today, little Sprinter van. Girls were grabbing me. I'm like, that is crazy, man. It makes no sense, but that makes all of the difference in winning celebrity.
So that's true.
I already got a taste of how it would be, so I'm like, damn, this is it. This is how it is. So, I need this.
So, best performance, what was y'all worst performance?
Probably my first one.
Yeah.
My first one ever.
Yeah,
my first project I did is around the, you know, Ray Sherman era, but this is that same project I dropped. I already started throwing my own events. My first event, like, my music was doing good. LRG sponsored me and everything. Like, I had them sponsoring the whole event. Listen, I told, like, the whole world to come. The first project, literally, probably like 30 people came. Like, it was only my friends and, like, a few other extra people. And they all came, I don't care, but it was dead, essentially. But I performed my ass off there. People fucked with it, and then that was, like, the worst one because nobody was there.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's big area, that those 20, 30 people.
Yeah.
In a big club, it looks like super dead. So I just had to close my eyes and perform. Because if you look at the crowd and perform,
it's going to bring you down.
Remember, it's like that synergy. You need that energy. Yeah. They ain't giving it to you.
That energy, kinda, yeah, that crowd kills energy.
You can see it through you, like, man, you ain't feeling it because the crowd's not feeling it.
When well, I used
not there, not there feeling it. There's nobody.
When I used to rap, that was my favorite. Like, as far as like recording, that was cool. But my favorite part was the performance, like when, cause like I said, I had a little team and we was all solo, so we were like, oh, we had a show, oh, I'm there, recording, yeah, I'll be there when I be there. But that's just me. I love that crowd participation. I love the energy, especially like if you know and they know your song,
right?
That's the best feeling in the world.
Whole different feeling, way better feeling,
definitely.
Well, I thought we was talking about open up, like, for artists. The favorite shows, I think the shows we did, the last recent shows, it was lit.
I mean, yeah, but that's not my favorite show.
You know, you had the one that was like 200 people.
I'm just talking in general. Yeah, we're talking about my show. I mean, I just figured.
I like to general, perform. Yeah, I just like to turn out.
Yeah.
Most litest show, I think, that would be the better question. What was the most lit show you had?
Yeah.
Your favorite show could be just meeting celebrities at the show or opening up for it. What was the litest show you had? Where it was
probably
like,
the same show.
Yeah.
That's the reason. It's my favorite.
Yeah. It was
so lit that it's my favorite.
And people were singing along. Like, it was lit.
So it was like so our, that it was so completely yeah. sold out.
Yeah. Sold out. Wow. So that was our favorite one. Like, that was the best one.
He said our favorite.
I know. You didn't fuck with that song.
I mean, it's the favorite one of that tour.
Yeah, well, for me, that was
there's
it
so
me.
Many, bro. It's so many.
I performed a lot, but that was still the best one.
Yeah, I got a lot.
Yeah, I got it.
It was two. There was two turns. There was two turns for my set, so I felt like people came out swinging. I'm like, all right, this is what I needed.
Yeah, you said your worst was your first.
Yeah, my first. I was like 18, 19. I don't know, I was like recording music on a like a Mac laptop, you know, on the microphone on there. So I didn't really know what I was doing. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't really have a team around me. I was just kind of learning as I go and forgot my lyrics on stage, got a little nervous and shit. But there was like nobody there, so it wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like,
it was practice.
Yeah, exactly.
You talk about the first show, my first couple of shows, like, it was trash.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't know what because like performing and recording, practice. Like, all those pieces of, like, I had to learn that each one of them is their own separate, like, skill that you had to learn.
And, right.
You know what I mean? Like, stage presence is one thing, and then presence in the booth is another thing.
Quality
of the music, exactly. Down to, like, the engineering, like, now, like, my shit, like, from, like, when I first was recording to now, it's, like, don't even sound like the same artist, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, just the process, yeah. Exactly. I learned from making mistakes and fucking up.
That's the only way to learn, from learning from your mistakes, man.
Trying shit that don't work and then trying to find a new way to make it work. So
I feel like that's the best way to get better and progress when it's dead. Like, that's the best time to practice.
Facts.
You don't want to mess up with a crowd full of people.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've rocked shows where there's, like, nobody there. I mean, we even went on a tour where we hit some places. There was nobody there. Then we went to some places where shit, like, sold out. The whole fucking city came out. You know what I mean? But you just got to use those times when there's nobody there. That's, like, practice. You know what I mean?
Ken, what was your worst performance?
My worst? Like I said, probably my first as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
You're the beginning artist.
Yeah.
But that's where you get tested, too. Like, where are you gonna keep going or quit? Facts. That's what really get tested.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Your like expectation or excitement is here. When you see the crowd, you go home depressed, start thinking, should I keep doing this? Is this really for me?
Facts.
And then you just try again, and then people, you gotta get the people to keep you motivated.
It's that,
around you.
It's that passion though that keeps me going. Mm-hmm. Like, as I said, I just like performing, so I like making music, creating. So regardless what anyone thinks about it, it doesn't matter to me. Like, that was always been my mentality. I was gonna do it anyways.
Facts. I want to say my worst performance, I was like 2 years in, like, rapping, and they had this little joint where you do a tryout and open up for Summer Jam, and
damn, you started off strong. Yeah. You had a dope opportunity in the beginning, but go ahead.
Yeah, my boy, we had a song, and it was picking up some steam, and the only thing was we had to perform at this club, but you had to be 18 and older to get in at the time. Mm-hmm. So we were about to go in, and then they were just like, all right, we just gonna flash our IDs and just skip in.
No.
My homeboy, he was like, we got into the club, and then the security guard, we was performing. Stuff was picking up. The security pulled my homeboy off stage and was like, show me your ID. And this man put out his school ID.
Oh,
mm.
God.
Wow. Put out a school ID. And he told all of us, they stopped the whole show, told us to get out.
Whoa. And damn, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
That was
already on stage. That was a let it ride. They took it out.
Nah, they didn't want to take no chances. No chances at all.
You in the matter clothes.
Facts. Yeah, I was getting going in the club when I was 15.
So you was already on.
Yeah. Because, like, a lot of clubs in, like, Florida is 21 and up for a lot of clubs. Especially, like, in Miami.
Imagine
and shit.
Young, performing for grown people that just look at you crazy.
Yeah. I started performing when I was, like, 15, so 16, 17, 18, I was just in clubs that, you know what I mean, I couldn't really get into, but I was performing there, so.
So how did people, like you said, people look at, you know, you a kid on stage, talking about what you're talking about?
That's the thing, I've had tattoos since I was 13, 14, so people always just think I'm older, they don't even really realize, like, I was 16 with a full sleeve, so.
So what's y'all recording? What's y'all recording process?
As far as what, like writing the music or actually
do you write?
Yeah, I write my music. I like to write everything, but sometimes it depends what it is. I'll do it on the spot, like no pen, no pad, but like I'm kind of like constructively putting it together in my head.
Yeah.
So like you're still kind of writing it, just no pen, no pad.
Cause I know I was listening to Jada, and he said Styles P, and okay. He said sometimes he like to light some candles, set the mood or whatnot. But you know when he with the locks. You know, they can have like 30 niggas in there, mm-hmm. some chicks in there, you know, mad weed. So, what, like, is that?
Mine's the office. I don't like nobody in the studio.
Yeah, I don't like having anyone in the studio. I just like a lot of weed and like a pizza. Yeah.
Mine's my choice more of a liquor. I get fucked up. But not fucked up, but when I get to that point, I don't care. The lyrics, I think too much writing. So I'd be like, mm-hmm. get a little liquor, man. Look, this is it. Just write it out.
What's your go-to liquor?
I don't see. A Henny.
Henny?
Yeah.
I'll
probably just write two That's bars. Two
can't write two go wrong
four
with
bars
that.
And the rest, I'll just jump in and just. All I focus on is the beginning.
Facts.
If I jump in right,
mm-hmm.
the rest
is
just
I'm
gonna,
it just comes, yeah.
It's gonna come after me.
Yeah, because I was told from a manager that had like a lot of experience. He told me like with artists, when he listened to artist music, he listened to the first 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. If that first 30 seconds doesn't catch him, he cuts it off.
So I understand what you're saying as far as like that beginning
has got to grab you.
It has to grab me. That's how I feel. That's how I look at any music, or I just look at it as a consumer, not a rapper or an artist. Because then you can see how they would look at it rather than how you, versus you think how they're going to, oh, they're going to fuck with it. They're going to get to this part. Like, nah, if you like
because I know a lot of people, they just like, okay, if they listen, like, if, unless you sitting right there with them and listening to
all right, exactly.
They go listen.
That's what it is. Like, listen to this. And you sit next to them, they're feeling that pressure. Like, all right, I got to hear the song because it's my homie. I don't want to, like, disrespect them. So they're going to hear the whole song compared to somebody that's on the outside.
Right.
You send them the song MP3 and they click play. First 15 seconds, maybe, like, the beat will catch them. They next.
Right.
I give people. Sometimes I give people the. I give people like 45 to a minute, depending on.
I don't ever give people that long. So that's all. If you give me 15 seconds, the beat don't catch me, I'm done with it. If the chorus don't catch me, I'm not even wasting time for this. You got to think like that's how consumers are. They ain't gonna tell you that.
That's true.
Especially females. They told me straight up. I asked the females. They'll tell you like, yeah, I don't make the song too long. I like a catchy hook and a catchy beat, so that's what I started looking for. Like, that's mine. Before they get to the lyrics, it's the beat. If the beat don't catch them, they might not even make it to the chorus. And the chorus probably comes in 10 seconds. They already skip within the next. Didn't catch them.
So, Damo, what's your recording process?
I mean, I don't really mind people in the studio. I like to do a lot of shit. I like my music to be real organic, like in the moment. I'll write a lot of stuff too, but like in terms of like, I mean, being that like I have access to like my own studio type, you know what I mean? Like, we'll go in there like 3 a.m. after we're leaving the club and we're all like hammered drunk and we'll like make a crazy hype song, or you know, that vibe is gonna be different than, and there's like 10 of us in the studio versus like sometimes I'll come in like by myself, like that vibe of song is gonna be way different, you know what I mean? So I just like to ride whatever the energy is, whatever the wave is for the time. I think the best music is organic music, like how you're feeling in that given time, because that's what like the listener is gonna relate to, is the feeling that the music gives them, you know what I mean? They're gonna, that's how you like really hook someone, and so you can spark a feeling in somebody. So whether it be like turn up music or like, you know, good feeling, depressed shit, whatever, like people really relate to like the feeling, and I feel like people appreciate like that shit more too. So I don't know, I just, however I'm feeling, that's the kind of music I'll make. There's not really like a set recording process that I have. I like to work quick though.
Yeah.
I feel you. I like that.
I'll take it forever. I'll write the chorus.
I'll be in the studio. Like, I'll record. Like, there was one time I went in there. I think I just dropped a project on Friday, but there was a project that dropped before that. I recorded like 7 songs in like 2 hours.
Okay, nah.
Hey, you put all the songs out?
Yeah, I put most of them on.
Yeah. See, me, I'm the type of person, I like to, I would like, my homeboy, he had dropped the album in July last year. He had recorded his second project, and he was ready to drop that shit like 3 months.
I was like, project since last summer.
I mean, that's a lot. Like, was it albums, or was they just
some
like,
of them were EPs? Some of them, 2 of them were albums, and 2 of them were EPs.
Okay, I can respect
that. I spend a lot of time in the studio though. Like, I'm like, you know what I mean? I have like, there's a lot of shit that I don't release too. Okay. Like, but I just like to, honestly, like, pass all the bullshit. Like, I just like to make music. Like, I'm bored. Like, all right, I'm gonna go make a song. I don't even know if it's gonna be good or not. But like, you know what I mean? Then I take all the shit that I think is good.
That's the artist.
That's the problem I have, the consistency. Like, dropping it all day, but not as much as you, but still consistent.
You
need a balance. Yeah. You need a consistency.
Yeah.
And quality. You know, nowadays, back then it was just quality. Now it's like you gotta keep putting out projects and it gotta be still somewhat quality.
Do y'all think,
to drop shorter projects. Like, my projects will never be longer than 10 songs each. Like,
that's how I used to. I don't ever do 10 songs. people don't pay attention to
that. Do you think that hurt the artist?
My last one was 5 songs.
That's what they want to see. Like, seriously,
tracks. And my songs are only like 2 minutes long.
There you go. That's another good thing.
Yeah.
I don't do long songs because people's attention spans are done. Everything is so quick nowadays. Like, you log on, you want it now. You know what I mean? Everything got to be now.
You just got to pay attention to your plays. Yeah. Listen, not even your plays. Anybody plays when they drop projects. Uh-huh. The first 3 tracks will have the most plays. Once you get to the 4th or 5th, it's like a fraction.
Facts.
You get like 5,000, 3,000, 2,000, 100, 200, 300. Like, it drops so drastic. So those last two songs could have been the hits, but they never got to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's better to drop very short projects where they have the most likely listen to the most of the project.
And you could take one project that would be a full-length project and you could have multiple projects and keep the consistency.
See, that's why I'm into the consistency is because I'll drop like 5-song projects, a 6-song project, maybe even a 3-song
EP. If you're not like an artist that's popping already with like a major buzz, they're not listening to more than 5 to 7 tracks.
Yeah, they're not.
You can't drop full albums without.
Yeah, if you're independent,
you need a name. Full albums, no one's even.
You can't like, drop a.
Bro,
E40
just dropped like a 30 song album. Like, no one's listening. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He said what? He had no idea.
Chris Brown got dumped out.
I know, but
E40 thing, I can see that because he got bugged.
Fan base,
in the Bay.
Right.
Cali is huge.
They rock with him in Cali.
Cali is huge. It's like they got his own country over there.
Like, I just really found out like how. I mean, I know he a legend, but how legendary
E-40
is.
The Bay Area.
I heard the story that he did with Biggie. He did to Biggie. And that.
Oh, yeah, I heard that, too.
That gave me a whole different respect.
Yeah, Biggie, just a few other people. Like, he's up there, boy. Like,
I didn't realize how legendary he was.
Yeah, he's Trick Daddy in the Bay Area. Right. Like, same thing.
Exactly.
He, like, that old head just got that respect.
Been around,
been
doing
grinding
it too.
Yeah,
been grinding for a while.
So Florida is kind of y'all kind of show love to each other.
We show
yes and no.
Yeah,
in Florida is extremely oversaturated with people that want to rap and be artists that like. No one gives you the time of day anymore because every other person is a rapper.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that's. Everywhere right now.
To
be honest, because I was in Tucson and me coming from North Carolina to Arizona,
right?
I'm thinking, you know, okay, I'm running to a bunch of Mexicans, da 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 da. They rapping,
I see the difference in California and Georgia. Like those two states, like the rappers are rappers and the photographers are photographers and videographers are videographers. Like, I've seen it a lot where that's their role. Every other spot, the roles, they're multiple within that role. Like, yo, I'm a photographer, but I also rap. Like,
right, yeah.
Yo, I'm a videographer, but I also rap. I'm a graphic designer, but I also rap. Mm. And you see them rapping and trying to do that on the side compared to Georgia and Atlanta where I seen, like, when they rap, that's all they did.
Yeah, it's a dude down.
That's all they did.
I ain't going to say his name, but it's a dude down here. Like, I knew he made beats. I knew he rapped. But then... He hit me with the, yo, I do graphic design. I said, okay, that's cool. Then he, oh, yeah, I got my own studio. Okay, that's cool. Because, you know, you're a rapper. Okay, you made beats. That's cool. Then I find out he was a battle rapper. I'm like,
that's too much.
Yeah, I feel like you have to.
Trying to balance too many things.
Because I do a lot of those things, but what are you doing with it? Are you trying to become something with those things too?
Like,
I learned those things for me.
I don't do it to like, hey, I do rapping. You want me to do graphic design for you, or you want me to go shoot your video? Nah, I ain't do nothing. I told my homeboy, I told him, I said, yo, like, you got to master your craft, bro, so you don't have to pay a graphic designer. But if you're trying to make money off it as well, it's too much.
Like, I'm gonna be a video guy, nah, bro. You don't even.
Like, I learned a lot about engineering, like, while recording, but I ain't gonna make no one pay me to engineer the music.
Right. Until you really feel, until you feel like you...
Exactly.
Even like, when I get there, I'm not... If I engineer, it's gonna be for my boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm not an engineer, so I don't...
You're not engineering to make money.
I would never tell someone I'm an engineer, but I know about it.
Yeah. I know how to do all those things. I'll never tell anybody else because I'm not... I don't want no money from it.
Right.
I think that...
I don't even want you to ask me.
I ain't trying to work for you.
I mean, but you know it's gonna come, especially if you're doing it yourself. They'd be like, "Hey, man, who did your work?"
Yeah, I'll say me, but then it was like, "Yeah, I just do it for me." I tell them straight up. It's not like I'm not, because I don't want you to think that's how they gonna start viewing you. If you start shooting other people's stuff or doing graphic design for other people's stuff, and your shit's dope to them,
because then also too, if you have like graphics that you like and has a certain look, and you start doing those for other people, then that look is no longer yours.
Yeah, your look is done.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
That's why you do it yourself, so you can have your
own thing. Vision. Like, you know.
And you do it yourself, it's come out exactly how you want
it. So when y'all meet people, because I'm starting to get to this point, when you meet people, especially like people, people that you know, that you grew up with or you went to school with, when you see them, is that your first name?
Yeah.
So you run with that.
Yeah.
Cause like I said, I run with Jigsaw. Right. They call me Jig, but I still have people that call me by my government name.
Right.
And I'm like, yo, like, don't disrespect me like that.
Right.
But how do y'all deal with it? As far as
my name is Joe Tiki. My name is Joel. So that's my character. I still incorporated my real name into the nickname as well. So. People start calling me Tiki. Don't ever put the Joe in the morning. So
okay.
It took a while. They didn't start calling me Tiki. I was like, no. It's after you started making more music, making more noise in the city.
It's also too like
my close friends. I don't care. They mind. They call me my real name because
they're
my close friends. I don't mind my close friends. Like I actually like that because.
But you can shorten your own name on the track though. You know what I mean? Be like Tiki. Like you know what I mean? Like, and then it catches on, and people start calling you that.
So when they keep hearing it, they're gonna start calling you that.
I mean, like
I got that from Mike Jones. Who else do it? Like almost every artist do it when they first come out. They say
yeah, because I did a podcast with this guy, and he was like, it's kind of, it's borderline disrespect because you're not respecting me as
podcast
as an artist,
yeah,
right.
Or is whatever,
did he know
whatever
you personally?
Crap, huh? No, not him. We were just talking about it.
Okay,
not him per se, but I'm just saying as far as like people that you went to school with, because it's still people that's here and be like, oh man, I just seen Jermaine, like nigga, his name J. Cole, like. Give him the respect.
Yeah.
So
see, for me, everyone has always called me Dima. Before I even made music, people called me that. So that's why I used it for my music, because that's what people called me anyways.
Yeah,
so, because it's part of my last name. Mm-hmm. So like people would just call me that for sure.
That's good that you said that, because that's how really your name stick. It's better for other people to give you the
nickname. Yeah, everyone just called me
that. When you give yourself the nickname, it's really hard for people to start calling you that, because it was never... naturally given to you.
Mm-hmm. Nobody
my
calls
name was
me
naturally
by my
given
first
to me.
Name. Like,
that's
you ever
her
call
name.
Me by my first
yeah.
name.
So it's already Cam.
Yeah.
It was already calling you Cam.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's already calling you.
Don't even know.
That's how easier to transition compared to let me go home and make a name and start telling people that's my name. It's not going to stick like that.
Nah, because it's on my wrist. I had my name since, like I said, I recorded my first song and I got it from my aunt. So. When I was just saying, because I was in a meeting with somebody, and it was like, you don't know Devon, we went to school with Devon. She was like, I know him as Jigsaw. So that's where that came from.
Right, right, right.
There's different people, different situations.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't mind if you call me my real name, only if you know me.
I don't, yeah.
If
I
you
don't
know me,
care.
You can't call me already, because you don't really know me.
They don't
so if it's my close friends
know.
I grew up with, they can call me that, and I feel comfortable talking to them, because like I said, they know me. They know the real me. So I don't mind that. If you don't know me like that, don't be calling my real name. Don't be looking at my name and then start calling me. That's crazy.
So I know y'all use social media to y'all advantage, especially nowadays. Mm-hmm. So how is y'all marketing strategy to get y'all demographics?
Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah. I mean,
ads, sponsor.
Pretty much.
And going out to doing shows is one thing, but like we see how we're together. Mm-hmm. This is like a team within ourselves, a team of rappers,
right?
Marketing ourselves,
but we're also individually promoting ourselves.
So when we individually do it, we don't have a group to do it. So we use the social media platform to do.
Like you said earlier, a team really pushes it, helps it forward.
Way better.
Right.
It's hard for people to believe until you start doing it yourself. So
that's true.
Sad, yeah. But it sucks. Like, you the homies ain't just gonna pick up and do it regardless, but whatever.
So I was listening to something earlier today, and the dude, he made 100% sense. He was saying you can't dick ride your friends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Y'all believe in that?
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't dick ride?
Because he was basically the subject around it was, if like say your friend got a Benz, like you say you rap or whatnot.
Yeah.
It's not dick riding if you saying, okay, this my man. Yeah. This is,
there's no such thing as dick riding. That's your friend. You're supposed to be supporting that hard for your friend.
Facts.
You're not dick riding. 100%. That's your homie.
That ain't your friend.
If you're looking at, yeah, if you're even looking at it that way, that you dick riding them, you got to look at yourself, my friend. You got to go back and reevaluate yourself on why you even thinking like that.
Because everything he was saying, it made, like I said, I was just like, damn, that shit is so true.
Your homies should uplift you.
I mean, it makes sense to an extent, though. Like, you can't be overhyped about some shit all the time. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you can if he's your fan.
Yeah, but if it's not, if you're just doing it and it's not legitimate, like, you know what I'm saying?
But that's not your friend. Like,
that's what Dick Riding is, though.
Yeah, like, bro, he could be
not your friend, though.
But he could be your homie, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. This is just hypothetical. He could pull up in a car. Hey, you don't think the car is hot, but the shit pulls up, you're like, bro, shit hot. You know what I mean? It's fire.
Yes, man. I understand what you mean.
Yeah, like that's kind of dick riding.
But
like,
I don't think I can have it. I feel like I don't have yes, man, because I'm not there yet for them to be saying me yes, man. I don't think we're at the level where you feel that pressure where they're saying yeah.
So you ain't got nobody you're going to say, always say, hey, man, your shit hot.
If they're a fan, they're most likely going to say yeah. You gotta understand, so, you're gonna have friends that's real good friends of your shit. Don't take it that, oh man, they just say, yeah, they probably fuck with your music and your sound.
Now, because me personally, like, because I screenwrite. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that for a while, but that's my piece. And I have, like, certain people that I let read my stuff before if I do something with it or if I don't.
Right.
And they tell me, you know, majority of the people the three people that I have read it, they tell me my stuff is good. I want somebody on the outside that be like, yo, like, tell me, yo, if it's, you know, if it's trash or if it's not. I need that honest feedback. And sometimes it's hard to tell if they really saying, like, your shit is hot or if they just be yes, man.
It's like a gray area, because if you're a fan, like, say if you made this song, you made the song because you fuck with it, and you made them listen to it because you hope that next day you're going to fuck with it. And if you let a person that's not only a homie, also a fan, he also probably sees your vision of what you wanted to put out, and that's why he's most likely going to fuck with it. Now, when you let the outside listen to it that never heard your sound or don't know your vision, of course you're going to come out with a different opinion, which is good to let other people hear, you know, what you have, so you can have a collective thing and then come out like, okay, this song, this is how much people fuck with it. This is how much people didn't fuck with it. And at that point, is you do what you, it's up to you to release it.
Because all my music friends, they send me their music before they do anything with it, and because they know I'm going to tell them, like, okay.
Straight up, right.
This is what the fuck you need to do.
See, yeah, I try to keep people around me like that.
But then
like,
there's people
trash or this is fire.
Then there's people that's always negative. That's your homie that's always saying your shit's whack. There's those type of people that you gotta stay away from, because if they're 90% of the time, it's not that they hate you or anything, it's just they're not a fan of the music, that's another one. They either don't fuck with you, they like envy you, they're jealous of you, or they really don't fuck with your sound or your music. They're not accustomed to it. So it's either you're gonna keep listening and getting their opinion, or just don't ask their opinion at all, because majority of the time, it's always a negative opinion compared to people having a balance or tell you constructive criticism.
Yeah, don't tell you something. Because that's
most people tell you don't like it and they don't have a real reason. They'll be like, why don't like it? Like, I don't know, man. It just ain't clicking with me. That's not a fucking constructive criticism.
Yeah, that's why I tell people, I say, when I send you something, tell me what I need to work on.
And that's how you know if they listen to it.
Yeah.
Because if they can't really give you constructive criticism, like tell you, hey, I don't like how you sound here or here, or I didn't fuck with the quality of the music. If they don't tell you details, that means they didn't really listen to it. Period.
That's true.
Or they're just hating on it. They're either hating on you or they didn't pay attention to the song.
I was also taught by someone that, like, you shouldn't, like, necessarily push your music to your friends. You should try to push your music to people that aren't your friends, because mm-hmm. those people that are your friends going to know you, like, as who you are, like, in your real life.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, you know,
and they know you.
I work a job. Like, I really, like, live a normal life, but then on the side, I also do this music shit, you know what I mean? So you want to push it, like, someone told me, what was it, like, the 100... I think it was 10-1 rule. So for every $100 you spend, you want to gain 10 fans. And then one super fan, like someone that will just buy everything
no
for you.
What, yeah.
They bow down at your feet. Like they will fucking, you know I mean? You autograph a piece of bread, they'll buy that shit from you. So
like Travis Scott.
Yeah, you feel me? Like you need like cereals. You need that shit. That ain't going to be your friends. That's going to be some person in Iowa that doesn't fucking know who you are, mm-hmm. doesn't know anything about you. They just love your music.
So if you're starting off, like how do you get that super friend, super fan?
Consistency.
And have your own content. Content.
Keep dropping content and have your own image and be you.
But how do you get it to that artist? I mean, that person that... in another state.
How do I get to them?
Social media, whatever. Doing what we're doing right now, fucking traveling. Coming to another state and performing.
Right.
It's a lot of different avenues. You just gotta take advantage of each avenue. You know, I mean, this
marketing is the biggest
part. With technology nowadays, everyone's got an app. That Old Town Road song blew up on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking app where people make funny videos. Thanks. You know, that's how that song blew up.
Yeah, that's how that song blew up. Yeah.
You gotta find your avenue. There's an avenue. Just like Mac Miller found YouTube, like blew up off YouTube.
You gotta be on it. You gotta be on it before it's hitting. Like
that's the best time to blow up.
You gotta be ahead. You gotta be ahead of the game.
There's so many different
avenues. So look for the newest app and then
look for it. You just gotta
it doesn't necessarily have to be an app either. There's just you gotta find an avenue and then just fucking shove like put money behind that avenue and just shove that down.
If your Instagram is popping, I think that's the one you want to push it more. If your Facebook's popping, push on that
facts.
More.
Snapchat, you know what I mean? Whatever.
You got to hit all of them, but you gotta know which one is the one getting the most mm-hmm. feedback on, and you keep nagging at that one until something new comes up.
Facts.
Or you just drop a hit and finally take off. Man, you know how hard that is.
Yeah.
So what
marketing is probably the best, like, most important part. Like 90% of in the music is the marketing part.
Marketing, period, and whatever
anything,
you're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
I'm learning
and
that as I'm doing that.
And
doing
now you realize you need money. And that's what I was saying, the problem with me being consistent, because I don't like dropping projects without putting money behind it. It's a waste because, like I said, you're just putting out music, a fraction of people listen to the song if you're not putting the money behind it. Compared to every time you drop a project, you put the money behind it where everybody or what most people that you can reach actually listen to it, so you get the best
type of
feedback.
What exactly will you mean by putting money behind it?
Marketing your music, explain repost, SoundCloud repost, playlists on Spotify, ads on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
Okay.
Like having people repost it as well, like blogs reposted on it, that's real marketing. If you just post it on your Instagram and put it on SoundCloud, tell everybody on Instagram, bro. Oh, go follow my shit. You think that's gonna you waste your time? You waste your song, because it's not gonna get no further than your friend list.
Facts.
Never gonna get past that if you don't.
So you
have other people, other than your friend list, to put it on, like other blogs that has a whole different set of friend lists to repost it on their page.
If you
Spotify playlist that's a whole other region to put on their playlist.
Facts.
SoundCloud repost by a person that's very popular. You know what I'm saying? That's how you get your music out to more different ears, or paying for ads on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube.
So about
targeting those people that you want to hear your song.
Yeah. So about like investing in yourself too. Like,
yeah.
There you go.
If an artist isn't willing to invest in themselves, I ain't gonna listen to them, because
you don't
believe in yourself. You know what I mean? You ain't willing to. Why am I gonna put money into something you don't even feel about putting
money
into? You know what I mean?
People just hope that they post a song and it blows up. That's the problem. They don't put no
money
behind
it.
They put no money behind it, just drop it, and just hope that it takes off. Like,
I tell my brother that all the fucking time. Like, I feel like he's a dope ass lyricist, but I tell him that I ain't about to put no money into you if you ain't putting no money into yourself.
Right. That shit don't matter if you're a dope lyricist. There are a lot of dope lyricists. I know a lot of dope lyricists, but
I know a lot of people don't make dope music, period. Lyricists are not. They have dope ass songs, but they just drop music.
I know a lot of people with really, really, really good rhymes, but they can't construct a hit song. Like, a Big Deal, you can rap your ass off, but
lyrical don't mean shit if you can't make a hit or a good song. You know how much battle rappers I used to love to listen to, they make a song, it's trash.
Facts.
So I was like, you know what, I'ma just separate the category. I'ma just listen to you for battle raps. I don't want to hear you drop songs. Like, I don't want to hear.
That's really how it is.
That's true.
I like you for battle raps.
Yeah.
All right, well, my last question, man. Well, I'm a two questions. What is y'all goals for what y'all doing with this music stuff?
Dead? Memory?
I mean,
both of them?
As far as what? Like overall
As an artist? Yeah, overall. No, do you, like, besides this music thing, do you, like, my plan is to start this whole different business and rap is just going to be the stepping stone.
I mean, yeah, to be honest, personally, like, me personally, I don't know, speaking for anyone else, I'm trying to, I'm using music as a platform to be able to better myself and put myself in a position where I could provide for my family that in ways that I'm currently unable to, and that they're unable to as well. So that's really a big thing. So then from there, anything after that, that's a bonus. So
okay,
really it's provide and then invest. So the money is residual because you don't want to blow it.
That's true.
So you want to feed your family, you know what I mean? And then invest money and make it back and keep it going. And it doesn't have to be through music. Like you say, it could be you get the money from the music. But then you can start businesses.
You want the money out.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
It's a lot of different ways.
Multiple types of income coming in.
It's a Nipsey Hustle mentality.
Because if you fall, if your music fall,
forever, bro.
If music fall, you got this to fall back.
Continues,
you
know, facts, dog.
Because eventually you're going to get old. And one thing about hip-hop, sadly, is like there is like an expiration date.
See, yes and no. Yeah. I was about to say there, but that the thing with music, what I like, not just hip hop. If you look, there's artists like fucking Willie Nelson, bitch, like almost 80.
But you gotta think about it. He got a cult following.
No, I
Willie Nelson.
I'm just saying in general.
Hey, a country artist.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Hip hop.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Snoop.
Look at Jay Z though. Jay Z is like
one out of a billion rappers.
But just because
there.
There's one out of a billion doesn't mean that there's a set in stone. Like you can't have to stop at this age.
No,
like,
you don't have to stop.
Nah,
it's the,
I know,
it's the
but
fans. It's the generation that comes up.
Well, good dope sells itself. So if you put out fire, and don't matter what your age is, if it's hot, it's selling.
It's yes and no on that one. Because I said the generation, no matter.
I feel you, because now you have to put music with image. So
yeah, image. And then, like I said, the kids now don't respect the older generation. So it's getting worse. Back then, it didn't matter. It had
see,
no
do they not? Do they not accept the older generation? Or do they not accept the older style of hip hop?
Older style.
Both.
I think. Well, both can't play a part.
The younger generation feel
also,
like the old heads.
I
are
also
born.
Say it's the genre of hip hop itself that's been tainted for so
see,
long.
What I like to say. No, go ahead. My fault.
There will always be like this one individual that's going to spark it to be able to be like, all right, this is cool that you're doing it young right now and still keep it popping.
Yeah, that's what happens
right,
throughout.
Right, 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 right.
You
reinvent
one,
yourself and go with the time.
Like these Jay-Z's,
Snoop did it good.
Right.
Jay-Z did it good.
Like, oh, man.
Then,
you know,
that
still
ends.
Feel
yeah, you got the longevity. But what I like to say, too, is like, it's like kind of like rock. There's like subgenres to it. So like in rock, you got like metal, you got like alternative, you got classic rock. So I think
that's a problem.
You
with
got yeah, that's what
that's
I mean. You got
rap,
like
you,
trap rap, you got like hip hop.
But everybody
got,
like to merge them all because it always.
But that's the consumers do. The fans do that.
And that's what I'm saying. It was not more about your music. It's the fans and it's the consumers of
right.
Hip hop. The way they think is what's killing it.
Like, try to put us all, man, they're all too old. Black.
They don't even give the person a chance no more. When you get a certain age, if you read the comments, that old rapper, I don't know. I'm like, this song's hard, though. Why are they even bashing it? And that's the younger generation.
Right.
So I'm like, damn, right? Only hip-hop, you get type. Bro, every other genre, the majority of these people could live on forever. Touring, selling out fucking Madison Square
shows in
Garden.
Vegas. And
they never dropped a shit project in 10 years.
And still eating.
How much people could do that in hip-hop? It's a fraction. A very small fraction that can do that.
All right, my last question.
Second last question. Yeah.
I always ask people that do the podcast, if you had a book, what would be the title of your book?
I'll say No Matter What.
No Matter What?
It'll be called No Matter What.
Why you say that? Because say your name for the people that, because they...
Oh, Mama 5305.
Mama 5305.
From Dade County. Now living in Palm Beach.
Okay.
Feel me?
So you said no matter what.
No matter what. Just like the mixtape me and Chico G just released recently, it's called Regardless. So it's basically like, regardless, no matter what, hey, we ain't stopping. We pushing, just consistency.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And end up being able to go ahead and, you know, even people may look at it as a little stepping stone. I take it as a big stepping stone just being around these guys themselves to be able to tour and be like, man, you gotta be grateful, you know what I mean? Because you gotta step out your comfort zone, go out there, see what's popping, because you're always gonna have like strangers loving you more than even your hometown.
That's true.
A lot of times you'll have a best friend that, like he said earlier, that hey, they just don't feel your shit. They just don't feel, and it has to kind of do that, like they feel like they know you too much or something like that. Oh, this and that, it's just like that, you know. So you gotta go ahead and spread your wings and fly.
That's true.
I feel like the title, if I were to write a book, that should be called Drive.
Drive.
Yeah, because you can't do nothing in life if you don't got the drive. You know what I mean? You need drive to do anything, bro. If you don't have drive, you don't got ambition, you don't got none of that. Like, what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? It's a thing. It's like a multiple phrase title, because drive can mean anything. Drive could, like, it could be, it could be drive, but it could also be like it's like your ambitions. You know what I mean? Like, your drive is.
Your work ethic.
Yeah, like everything is dry. Like it is multi categorized. So that's why I feel like I'll pick that name, because without drive, nothing else follows. So I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory.
Grandma?
For me, name of my book, man, I don't know. I mean, a word that like
is
big. Like, I probably would have to sit on something like this, but a word that I like is sacrifice. I've had to make a lot of sacrifices throughout life. I mean, I feel like anything great in life, you don't get for free, you know what I mean? There's a lot of sacrifices that have to be made. Yeah. And whether it's like money, energy,
time,
you know what I mean? So for me, it's all about the more you sacrifice, the more you're going to get out of it, you know what I mean? It's like paying your dues, so...
That's really comes
and people will respect that. And crazy thing is, like, most people won't even see what you sacrifice. Like, the average person, like, people have no idea how much, you know. Even a lot of people in this room don't even know how much I myself personally have put into this music shit, you know what I mean? And that's okay, but for me, like, I see what comes out of it, what I get from it, the benefits I reap from it, and it's worth it to me at the end. So I keep sacrificing.
Sacrifice. I can relate to that.
I would probably name mine overcome the struggle. It's self-explanatory. Like, you're gonna struggle a lot.
Yeah.
While trying to get where you're trying to go, overcome the obstacles that comes around your way, but still have to go, you know, go through it regardless of what comes at you. So that's why I would call it overcome the struggle. Just whatever comes at you, just try to overcome it. Well, overcome it. You have to. Because if you don't, life's gonna crush you.
You're
gonna be on the bottom of the barrel if you don't know how to overcome that struggle.
Thanks.
From family, personal stuff, friends, knows that will destroy you if you don't know how to overcome those struggles.
That's big facts on that one. Well, give them your social media platforms, man. So they can follow y'all.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, man. You can follow me at Cameron Airborne. Just type it in, whatever. Google, Pandora, Spotify. I'm everywhere. So just Cameron Airborne, any social media platform.
Follow me, OMG. It's Demo, ITSDEMO. I just dropped a project. Apple Music, Spotify. Demo, DEMO, Introvert. So check that out.
Joe Tiki, JOTIKI. Just Google it. All the social media is going to be there. Just follow it, listen to it, subscribe. And fuck with
me. Shit, and as y'all know, this your boy Jigsaw Blue. I'm heavy on Instagram, but y'all know it's JIGGSAWBLUE26. This is Jigsaw and Company Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Download the Anchor app, Himalayas, all anywhere platform where podcast is streaming. Y'all can get that. Y'all heard these dudes, man. I learned a lot from them. Y'all go ahead and stream their music. Stream it as much as you can. And I will catch y'all next Wednesday. Until next time, keep your pieces together. It's Jigsaw Company. We out.
Yes, sir.
A lot of gang shit.